You know it's all a ploy, don't you?
A ploy?
Man, where have you been? Don't you watch TV? We are being set up by rich and powerful toy cartels.
Oh, come
on. Now, you got these big fat cats sit there using working class just like me and you. They spend billions of dollars on TV advertisement, and then they sit there and use subliminal messages to suck your children's minds out. And I know what I'm talking about because I went to junior college for a semester, and I studied psychology, so I'm right in there. I know what's going on. And then they sit there and make a kid feel like garbage if you, the father, who's working 24-7, delivering mail so you can make an alimony payment to a woman that slept with everybody at the post office but me. And then when you get the toy, it breaks and you can't fix it because it's a little cheap plastic. You know what I like to do? I like to walk up in that office, grab one of those guys, and just chuck it, until his eye pops out.
Shouldn't wear fur.
Podcast.
This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damien.
Wait, sorry. What?
Yes.
And well, no. Let's go through that again. Just start one more time, Andrew.
This is Andrew.
This is Douglas.
And this is Damien.
Shit, Damien is here.
Yes,
he exists.
I'm a Thanksgiving miracle. They have that, right? Yeah, Thanksgiving miracles? No?
I think that involves pumpkins or turkeys or something.
Right, and the massacre of a tribe of people.
Did you massacre anyone today, David?
In real life, no.
No.
I've been playing Skyrim, though. Jesus, that game is awesome.
I bought myself some stuff, but I didn't buy Skyrim.
You are a stupid person. You make terrible decisions.
I'm going to get Skyrim eventually.
Get Skyrim and get, damn it, Saints Row the Third. That game is amazing.
No, I'm never like Saints Row.
Andrew, listen to me carefully. That game is amazing. They sat down one day and said, what if we made the most video game ever? And they did it. And it is amazing.
Wow. Well, taking that, I'm just going to start with what I've been watching.
Sure.
I'm going to ignore Damien's thoughts about Saints Row because I'm getting shit.
You're so wrong.
First of all, right, since we've been talking about games, let me just mention it. I've been wasting my time away playing Batman Arkham City. And the game remains fantastic. It's possibly one of the best games I've played in quite some time.
You've been watching Batman Arkham City? That's not a movie, right?
Yeah.
You can't say, let me get into what I've been watching and start talking about games. It's not
can
a
I?
Works.
Can't I?
No.
No? Alright, forget it. Go get Arkham City if you have a PS3. Some of the few stuff I've been watching. Hell on Wheels, the new TV show on AMC, which is pretty much a replacement for Deadwood.
That's what I thought, so.
What do
is
you guys think
Timothy
about...
Timothy Oliphant in it?
No, he's
no,
not.
No, I don't want to hear it.
But when Deadwood came out, you didn't think of him as Mr. O. You just said...
You're incorrect, sir. That is the only reason I watched Deadwood.
Seriously? Not
yep.
for Ian McShane?
No, pretty much Timothy Oliphant.
Wow. What do you guys think of Hell on Wheels? Because I hear it's having trouble with ratings.
I haven't seen it, so that's probably part of the problem.
So, Andrew, let me get this straight. It's a show.
Yes.
On AMC.
Yes.
That's having problems with ratings.
That isn't Walking Dead.
Which means that it's going to probably get cancelled. Doesn't that mean it's automatically good? Most shows that get cancelled nowadays are good shows, right?
Speaking of shows that got cancelled, you told me to watch a show on NBC.
Called?
About a female policewoman.
Oh, do you not like that show?
Got cancelled.
I love that show.
Oh, okay.
It is super cancelled.
It got cancelled?
Yes, it did.
I just keep watching it. And,
and apparently Community isn't far behind.
Mm.
Yeah, that's another big new TV news item. Community is on the... It's been shelved for the mid-season, and there's no news as to whether it'll be coming back officially.
No. At least there's a start and end point. Like some other shows. Like How I Met Your Mother. That is still... where is it? Is it ever going to end? Is it going to be...
No.
This generation's Days of Our Lives? Are we just
pretty
going
much.
To... No?
Anyways, Hell on Wheels I actually think is a kind of good show. I'm not fully sold on it yet. I mean, I like it, but I don't love it right now. Also, I sat down and I watched Our Idiot Brother with Paul Rudd and Zooey Deschanel.
Skip to the next.
Wow.
What, Douglas, do you have something to say about this movie?
No, I don't. I have something that I probably would say if I actually did watch it.
Okay, so shut the fuck up. I actually like this movie a lot. It's
you hear that, Damien?
Mm-hmm.
The inflection.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know Andrew well enough now to know when he's essentially lying to himself.
Yeah. And by extension to everyone else.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
It's a good movie, guys.
Whoa,
come on.
Wow.
There it is again.
Wow.
The film is based... You know, one of these comedies where it's not necessarily setting up joke to joke to joke, but rather has a character who we sit down and wonder how he manages to exist in this world. And that's Paul Rudd. I enjoyed the movie. It's actually really funny.
Okay.
On top of everything else, I like the perspective and the general life policy that this dude lives by.
You like Paul Rudd, and so you like the movie.
I'm jealous of his beard.
Okay. Andrew, nothing you're saying is making me want to watch this movie. I'm going to watch a movie because I too am a fan of Paul Rudd, but you're not helping this situation at all.
Agreed.
But most importantly, over the last couple of weeks, what I did see, which I think it surpasses anyone's expectations of what this movie could have been. It's the new Harlan Kumar movie. A very Harlan Kumar Christmas in 3D.
That came on Wednesday here. Still haven't seen it.
It's
on here
back.
Oh,
came on yesterday.
It brings back exactly what the first movie was to me. The first movie, which I actually saw like on cable with no pretense or whatever, was just a crazy ass one night going everywhere and anywhere doing anything, and drugs happened to be in the mix buddy movie. That the second movie, on the other hand, took it to a height where they just went too far with it, with the Guantanamo Bay stuff. The third movie, they've given them some time, because when the second movie came out, the story continued like the day after or something like that. I can't remember. This movie is set 6 years after. They create whole new characters. Kumar has married that hot chick, and her family is coming over, which includes Danny Trejo.
Of course he does.
He's in a ridiculous Christmas sweater, and... That's Danny Trejo. The moment he's in a movie, he puts on that serious face and you laugh at him. There is one other person in this movie who is a fantastic role, but it's not mentioned in any of the marketing, and I don't know if I want to give it away to you guys.
Neil Patrick Harris?
No, it's not Neil Patrick Harris. It's someone else. I mean, I wouldn't call it one of those special cameos like in Zombieland where it's the fact that he's in the movie is the joke, but at the same time, he's one of those actors, so when you see him, you'll know it. And
is it MacGyver?
No, it's not MacGyver.
Chuck Norris.
Stop guessing. Douglas has a better chance of guessing, but he's busy shopping right now.
You're damn right.
No, I'm not. Oh, what? Sorry.
Wow. it's a historical movie. It definitely uses the 3D as a gimmick, but it's funny. There's even a moment where they're talking about how amazing this is going to be, that Danny Trejo is going to literally jizz on the tree, and it cuts to a shot in slow motion, this glossy, glossy slow motion that you even see in the trailers with the jizz coming out, and I found it hysterical. It's okay. It's over the top, it's ridiculous, it's crude, but that's what Harlan Kumar is.
So does Danny Trejo jizz in your face?
Yes, he did. And I enjoyed it. Damien, what have you been watching? Because I know Douglas isn't paying attention.
No, no, I'm paying attention.
Andrew has been having a little too much alone time.
Whenever you're ready for me, I'm ready.
Alright, so I saw 30 Minutes or Less. That's the Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz joint.
It was bad.
It was okay. It wasn't as funny as the trailer made it out to be, but it wasn't terrible. I'm not the biggest Nick Swardson fan. In fact, I'd say wherever Nick Swardson is, I should not be.
You know
be.
What upset me though? Was that I actually really liked him because I only knew him mainly from Reno 911.
Okay.
And that was, that show, I mean, there was almost nothing you could complain about to that show. That show was hilarious. But, you know, then he showed his true colors.
Right. Michael Peña is in this movie, and once again he steals the movie. I don't know how he keeps doing this. He is amazing. It is worth watching this movie just to see him in this movie. But it's not a great movie. You won't remember a lot. You basically only remember Fred Ward and Michael Peña, and everything else will go by in a blur. So,
talking about Michael Peña, is it just me or is it crazy that the best movies he's in are the movies that we most remember him for so far? I mean, I'm sure he has a lot more to do, are the ones where he's in comedy roles and doing that kind of a shtick, like in 30 Minutes or Less.
Well, he was in Shooter, that and he was the best part of that movie because what's his name?
There was a best part of
Wahlberg.
Yeah, Wahlberg didn't help that movie. Didn't do that movie any favors whatsoever. But I like Michael Peña, and again, if you're a fan of Peña, you need to see this movie. I saw Chaos Theory, that's Ryan Reynolds' movie that came out. Well, I thought the movie came out years ago, but apparently it's now getting a big push again for some strange reason. Reynolds and Emily Mortimer is in the movie, and Ryan Reynolds is married to, of course, Emily Mortimer, and then he finds out that his daughter isn't his daughter, and the movie surrounds how he deals with that fact. And it's a okay movie. It would be a superb Lifetime movie if such a thing existed. Sadly, it does not. But it's okay. It's one of those movies. It's a movie channel movie. If you saw it, you'd go, yeah, that was not bad. And you'd move along. I saw Larry Crown, which is a Tom Hanks directed movie. And it is bad. Very, very bad. No one should watch this movie. It's not good at all. No amount of star power save this movie. It's really sad to see Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts be in a movie that is this not good. Also, speaking of bad movies, I saw The Change Up, which hey guys, you know how we love Jason Bateman and we love Ryan Reynolds,
do we?
They didn't help. It's not good, and I can't see why this movie made very little money. It's because it really, really isn't very good.
Did you enjoy CG Leslie Mann boobs?
No. No, I do not.
Okay.
I saw 5 days of war, or 5 days in August, depending on where you are, where you see this movie. It's a movie about the Georgian invasion of Russia, let's say, which didn't really happen. If it's based on true stories, Andrew won't know this.
No.
Because he doesn't listen to the news. Around the time of the Olympics, Russia came out and said Georgia, a country that is about 1% of what Russia is, they said that Georgia was invading their country, and they retaliated. And this movie surrounds what happened during that 5 day period, and it exposes just how ridiculous what happened was. Russia just decided that they needed Georgia for some strange reason, and they attacked them, and everyone was too busy watching Usain Bolt run up and down, and no one cared, and it was pretty rough for those 5 days.
Oh, this is a recent one.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought this was some sort of historical thing. I remember when that happened.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was kind of glazed over because, of course, Michael Phelps was swimming. So. Okay. All right. Now, this is the last movie I'll talk about. I have a bone to pick with you two bastards. You guys looked me in the face and lied to me.
And said?
You guys said, "Hey, Damien, Super 8 isn't that great, and you're assholes because you're wrong. That movie is terrific." What did you guys see a different movie? What are you guys talking about?
I prefer E.T.
You are going to hell for saying that.
It's an E.T. remake where E.T. is better.
And the performances are better. And the direction is better. And everything is better.
In E.T., yes.
No.
Alright, what was it about Super 8 that was better than E.T.?
Everything. The child
actor. Don't say the graphics, because that doesn't count.
No, alright, fine. The story that it told and the child actor and the acting.
You didn't like Drew Barrymore in E.T.?
Are we seriously having this? Andrew, if you're going to look at me and say, "Damien, I didn't like Super 8. Because nostalgia dictates that E.T. is better," right? You'd be wrong, but I'd accept that. But if we're going to seriously have this conversation, where you try to defend E.T. as being better than Super 8, I'm going to walk off this podcast.
You just said it. You can't quit. We're not paying you.
Andrew, the movie is terrific. All right, Douglas, what did you want out of that movie? What more could the movie have given you? What exactly let you do?
DDR3 1600 RAM. But Amazon is only giving me some shitty Corsair sticks.
You can't say shitty Corsair makes some of the best RAM.
But these just don't look good.
First of all, RAM doesn't matter. You movies. Can buy as much of it as you want. I have that kind 8. Of RAM.
Is it really good?
It doesn't need to be Super really 8? Good.
It looks shitty.
It's fast. No, Douglas. Douglas, you said Super 8
Super
wasn't that great. What are you talking about? What let you down? I don't understand.
I don't know.
You damn right you don't know.
I just didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would.
Why? I honestly don't understand.
I don't even remember that much anymore.
Oh my god, you guys.
I do remember loving the credits.
When you guys came here, like, you were all ho-hum, like, Super 8 isn't that good. Yeah, I thought it would be better. I'm like, alright, I guess that if you guys don't like it, then I'm definitely not going to like it. But the movie is amazing. From beginning to end.
Look, the movie, my problem with the movie was that I feel almost like I overhyped it for myself. That's the first thing, right? Mm. It underwhelmed me. Yes, it looked like it achieved everything it set out to achieve. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, it was alright. Not much more you did. it didn't wow me like how I'm hearing from you. And it, once again, that might come from you lowering your expectations going in after hearing our responses to the movie.
No, my expectations were already low after his shitty marketing campaign where he showed nothing of the movie until the movie came out. I was already aggravated by that. But the movie is amazing. Me thinking that the movie, I didn't think that the movie was going to be good. Right? I thought the movie was going to be okay, but the movie is, I mean, J.J. Abrams doesn't really make bad movies, but the movie is fantastic in every aspect. I'm still puzzled. I mean, you guys are the only, everybody else is either this movie is amazing or the movie isn't good. But you guys are somewhere in the middle, and I don't understand that at all. Especially from you, Andrew, I thought you'd have loved this movie.
I would have as well.
But your argument is that it's not as good as E.T., which is ridiculous. this is not a good argument at all, because it is a far superior movie.
I'm trying really hard to think of an example of this right now, but my mind is drawing a blank.
Speaking nonsense.
You...
I think I've won.
Okay, no, hold on. You guys have not seen The Immortals yet, have you?
No.
Because it's not out.
Okay, well, what do you guys expect from The Immortals?
It looks pretty shitty, but it stars some things, so I'm hoping
300 version of 300.
Right. That was how I felt about Super 8 going in. I expect a J.J. Abrams, who I adored. I mean, you know, I love all of his films so far. You know, Star Trek,
yes.
MI3. And even though he didn't actually direct it, I'm going to list it, Cloverfield.
Yes.
That's how I thought about going into Super 8. Now, coming out of Super 8, I'm like, but it wasn't as good as I want it to be. And coming out of The Immortals, you're just going to say, oh, so I can just go home and watch 300 over again and know that it's better.
Yeah, but when it comes to, I mean, E.T. isn't better. It's not a better movie.
Look, I guess we have to agree to disagree, because you know I love E.T. and I guess you don't.
Alright, fine.
Right? Am I correct in that statement?
Fine. Yeah, it's because E.T. isn't that great a movie. You, I'm pretty sure it's nostalgia that's governing what you're saying. No, you're like, oh, E.T. is great. When was the last time you saw E.T.?
Around 3 months ago.
Wow. And you still love it?
Yes.
Holy shit. Okay, then. You're a crazy person.
Thank you very much.
Alright, Douglas, son, hi. Hi. Yes, seriously.
Yes, there's a podcast happening over here.
No, I'm here. I'm just waiting for you guys to stop ranting and raving about this mediocre movie. And Damien just threw something at me. Okay, so, would you folks like to know what I've been watching?
No, can we
would you
this
really?
And move on?
Would you really want to?
No.
Anyway, I have to start this list off with something that I watched. Actually, I didn't watch it over the last week. I watched it probably 2-3 weeks ago, but we haven't had a podcast in a while. And Andrew is going to look at me and say, but I've heard this already. Well, I don't care. Recently, myself and Damien, we were having a conversation, and actually, for those of you who are actually listening, you can hear that conversation on the last podcast. And we realized that a man by the name of Tom Hardy was actually in some television shows. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to try one of those out. And the one that I tried out was The Take. And this... I almost said movie because it kind of is a movie, but this show is words just can't describe how good this show is. This
kinda
show
ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's, as with many or most British shows, there's only one season and there's only four episodes.
They get to the point.
They get to the point real quick. But I love how they kind of flow each into the next without actually flowing. Except for the last two episodes, there is a huge disconnect in terms of time periods going from one episode to the next. Right? So the first episode, I think, is in like 84. The second episode is in like 94. Or no, 87. And then the third episode and the last episode are in 94. They just find the correct balance of telling one whole story each episode, as well as telling one huge story overall. And I mean, this show, it's fantastic. It's like The Sopranos eat your hearts out. It's a show about organized crime, and
as
expected, Tom Hardy is one badass motherfucker. You don't mess with that guy. And it really revolves around him and the crazy shit that he does and how that affects the people around him and how they kind of end up responding to that.
My one gripe is that I couldn't find it in HD.
I was about to smack you. I was like, there's a gripe?
I was not amused.
But that show is, it's classic. There, if you have not seen it,
right.
If
you
need to watch it.
Do you like The Wire? If the answer is yes, you need to watch this immediately.
Fuck you guys.
Immediate.
You made me watch old British TV.
Yeah. Instead of New Girl.
Exactly.
That felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Alright, continue, Douglas.
Yeah, so otherwise, I actually watched another movie. Technically, this really should have been on the last podcast, but as the last podcast got lost, I watched, I think the name is Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew didn't like it. However, I really dug this movie. This movie did something spectacular. It told a story without actually telling the story, and it was, it's astonishing how much detail it gives you in what it leaves out. It's just great. And as the name kind of suggests, it's a story about, you know, this, I guess you could say, the circle of life and how things kind of...
I cannot help it. I'm so sorry.
And how things kind of, you know, always come back around to where they should, and nothing ever really changes, but kind of in a good way. Anyway, this movie was really good. I don't know if I'd suggest it to many people because it's one of those, but great stuff. Other than that, no, I've watched, as Andrew said, Hell on Wheels, which I actually really dug. I really like the show. The first one, not as much as the second episode. The third one I haven't watched yet, but I'm really getting into it. Threesome. Did you folks know that there is a British version of Comedy Central? No?
Called BBC Four.
Neither did I. No, there's actually British Comedy Central.
What?
It even has an old Comedy Central logo.
Sorry, you just said there's a British Comedy Central.
Yes, there is.
I'm moving to England, guys.
Right? And on this British Comedy Central, apparently, British comedies are shown.
Like Comedy Central at all. Nothing you're saying makes sense.
One of these comedies is called Threesome. It is hilarious. It's a show about...
That's tree with an H or no H?
With an H. it's a show about three, I guess, young adults, young working people. Well, I shouldn't call them working people because they don't work. One of them works. But it's two guys and one girl. hence the threesome, but that's a devil's threesome, or whatever they call it. but... What happens very early in the show, and I'm actually worried that they might be running out of steam, but at the same time, it's a British show that probably already finished the season, and I just don't know yet.
Probably an episode later.
Exactly. What has happened is that, so these three folks live together. The girlfriend and the boyfriend are, you know, in one section, or whatever. There's a girlfriend and a boyfriend, and a gay best friend. Is how this works.
That's the worst threesome I've ever heard.
I know, right? Well, here's how the threesome happens. They're all about to turn 30, and I guess the girl goes first. Her birthday is first, and she becomes 30. And, you know, they go get drunk, and she's like, I feel 30. We need to do something to make me not feel 30, to make me feel, you know, young again. And, yes, there is a threesome.
Is that your plan as well, Douglas?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, and
has Michelle consented to this plan?
Sure, don't worry. I'll
That's what alcohol is for.
Exactly.
And rookies.
But yeah, so the threesome takes place, and you know, within a few weeks, there's a bun in the oven. Whose bun is it? Not the boyfriend's.
Speaking of which, Douglas, do you remember that trailer that we saw?
Yes, it's on here. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm gearing up. Have you? No? Okay.
I'm waiting for the HD.
Ah, yes. But yeah, so
no, I know what you're talking about.
So essentially, this show is about these three young people that are scared out of their minds and trying to deal with the fact that not only is this lady pregnant, but she is pregnant by her best friend, who is not also her boyfriend. And how do they tell that to people? How do they deal with that themselves? And
the fact that he's gay is not going to help much.
Exactly. But yeah, it's a funny show. other than that, not much. I watched a documentary called Magic Trip about the author of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest drive across the U.S. to go see the World States Fair. It was okay. Nothing to write home about. I was disappointed. Moving on. I'm done.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks.
Trailer for The Grey came out, and
a job at the end of the world. I work security, protecting men from the dangers they cannot see. There's not a second goes by when I'm not thinking of you in some way.
Guys, let's keep it
moving. I didn't really want to talk about any of the promotions for this film when it first started, because it looked like another movie where, thanks to Taken, we have put Liam Neeson in another action role, and it'll turn out to be completely mediocre. And nothing has changed my belief that the movie will turn out to be ridiculously mediocre. But this trailer that's just come out, this new extended trailer that's just come out, has struck me as one of the best trailers I've seen cut this year. One, probably in the top 10 of trailers released this year. For the first minute and a half, there is absolutely no dialogue. It plays to the suspense horror music score that you'd hear from movies like The Thing. And I mean, we all know that if you work really hard, you can make any movie look good when you cut 3 minutes out of it. But this movie looks really good based on its trailer. What do you guys think?
This movie looks okay. Actually, it doesn't look okay. It looks kind of crappy. So, did you ever see a trailer for another Liam Neeson movie? I know this wasn't the name, but it was called Bourne Identity.
Unknown.
It was bad. That
unknown engineer.
This movie looks like it's about the same quality as that movie. That's all I have to say.
Maybe it's because you love Lost.
are you yeah, really playing the plane
Lost
card?
In the snow? I don't. Andrew, this movie doesn't look great. I'm very sorry to tell you. I know you enjoyed the trailer, and I mean we're all Neeson fans here, so we're all going to see the movie. But my expectations aren't real high. He's fighting wolves in the snow, and daydreaming about his wife. I'm pretty sure I've seen this movie already. Hopefully Liam Neeson can bring his awesomeness to it and make it great, but I doubt it at this point.
I feel like you guys have forgotten that I also say this movie looks like it's going to be mediocre to bad, right? I'm talking about
the trailer
itself.
Yeah, but I don't know. No,
no, no.
No, no. It looks like a trailer. Looks like 3 minutes of a movie.
And no inspiration at all. Okay. I marked up the wrong tree.
Something else than just plain rocks and dirt.
This mountain is like a giant icebox.
For storing what?
Drill deep.
Prepare the dynamite. You have a grave to rob.
First, I want us to talk about rare exports. The film that really tackles the idea of where Santa Claus came from. I mean, it's Christmas time, guys. It's pretty much there. Damien, do you believe in Santa Claus?
No, I'm a grown man.
Do you now believe in Santa Claus?
Yes.
The whole point of this movie is basically talking about
you
the
found a point
Santa
in this movie that is amazing. Because I have not.
The origin of Santa Claus, and therefore how he eventually turned into what we now consider Santa Claus. This guy in a red suit, he's fat and he has children on his lap. And what I find interesting, right, besides all the ridiculousness of it, because to tell the truth, when I was watching this movie, I was kind of with it up until the first time they start to talk about Santa Claus, which is probably around 15 minutes into the movie. What I find really interesting is that there are a lot of really dark origin tales as to who is this Santa Claus, Saint Nicholas. And a lot of them talk about the idea that Santa Claus came out from the fact that there was this man who was horrible to children, who was a pedophile, abuser of children, kidnapped them, blah, blah, blah.
I don't want to say that.
And then he had to pay his penance by bringing joy to all these children one day every year for the rest of I don't know how long. And that's how the whole myth started. It's one of the theories. I don't know how valid or which source it really came from, but I heard it somewhere. I can't remember where. And to see a film like this, which doesn't necessarily play into all of those ideas, but it definitely toys with it, is, I find, kind of intriguing. And the way it was put together so ridiculously is kind of fun. What do you think, Damien, besides no believing in Santa Claus?
All right. Well, besides believing in Santa Claus, this movie has one of the best endings I think I've ever seen. It turns the movie from a horror movie into essentially a dark comedy in about 30 seconds. It is an amazing turnaround. I haven't seen many movies do. But the movie was funny. It did what Trick or Treat did, which is play with your expectations. The entire movie, the movie starts, and it starts out essentially paying homage to movies like The Thing, where you go, alright, so they're digging a hole and they found something in the ice. Like, alright guys, I see where this is going. And then when they introduce the Santa Claus thing, you go, alright, so I guess this Santa Claus, because they say, you know, Santa Claus is evil and whatnot, and people start disappearing. So you go, alright, I guess this is where they're going to play up the horror aspect. And then they just keep playing with those expectations right up to the end. And as I said, I love the ending of this movie. And it was fun. There's not a lot of gore. So there's essentially no gore at all. And there's this little child at the movie.
There are penises, though.
Yes. Oh, so old man penises, which no one should see more than once or twice. Maybe three times. Alright. It was just, I don't know. It reminded me a lot of Trick or Treat. It did the same thing that Trick or Treat did, the playing with expectations. And it was fun to watch what should have been a horror movie turn into a dark comedy. And I enjoyed it. A lot of for pretty much the entire 1 hour and 10 minute duration. Douglas isn't even listening to us.
Andrew started talking about like child molesting, and I didn't want to hear that that's what Santa Claus does. So I will put my headphones back
what
in
do
when
you
the
think,
guys stop.
What do you think a man that allows children to sit on his
Damien.
Lap?
Shut up!
Damien. Douglas still goes to sleep on Christmas Eve and looks for Santa. Okay.
Douglas, Santa isn't real.
By the way, can I just say that one of the creepiest moments in this film for me, like most people will probably attach to when you first see the Santa Claus, when you first see that old guy, and he's kind of in the corner and he's just moving around weirdly, or how he looks at the child whenever he shows up or reacts to him. However, what really creeped me up was when the child came out and he went into the pit, and he picked up that wooden doll, that wooden child.
Right.
Like that, just the image of that like wooden child, and you immediately know what was going on. Like
right.
That just
and it changed your expectation for the rest of the movie. You're going, you saw that and you went, terrible shit is about to happen, right? There's going to be bad things happening for the rest of this movie.
Is it weird that I think the one guy who spoke English of the three butchers, well, he's not a butcher, he's actually a potato guy or something. A farmer, sorry.
He's a potato man.
Potato man. I thought he looked really like Willem Dafoe with the beard and everything from Steve Zissou,
right.
Life Aquatic. Yeah.
Yeah. Now that you mention it, yeah, it does. He does.
He
look
looks like Willem Dafoe and Bill Murray coming together from Zissou with the beard. And also, have you seen In Time, Damien?
No.
No,
I don't think it's out yet.
Really?
I think it's out.
Okay.
But
don't watch it, it's bad. Okay.
It's a Justin Timberlake movie with what's her face. I saw the trailer.
Name. That's her name, what's her face?
I saw the trailer, I didn't want to see it.
Just like In Time, the only thing that not just with In Time. There's a lot of things that bother me in Time. But one of the things that bothered me in this movie, which also bothered me in Time, was the fact that in Time they did it with time. In this movie they do it with Christmas. They feel a need to shoehorn in any kind of phrase that people would say around Christmas as if it's an action movie.
They did it on purpose. At least in this
one. I know
they
did
it
on purpose.
But it was fun.
Halfway through the movie, something happens, and they go, yo-ho-ho. The child shouts yo-ho-ho for no reason other than, we're doing a Christmas movie.
Yeah, because it's awesome.
The movie is fun.
Yes.
It's one of those movies that I think I would have loved to have sit in a theater with a bunch of people.
I can't believe that Douglas, the one who was championing this movie, was the one to not see. And it is so much fun.
How's that Amazon shopping going, Douglas?
Andrew's talking to
him. Is he talking about the movie? Because I'm done.
Talking about
Okay, hold on.
Hey, just so you know, the movie wasn't about pedophilia at all. Lunatic.
I was just talking about general thoughts on Santa.
Yeah, let's rehash any of those general thoughts. Alright. So the movie was fun.
By the way,
everyone
I just like to stop and say that I just found a way to buy shit from Newegg again.
Until 24 hours passes and it is validated.
No, this is this is an official service from PayPal.
I have seen screens like this before.
So happy.
And then
sounds
received
like
emails from Newegg
for the rest of the podcast.
Oh my goodness. Newegg, it is tomorrow's Black Friday. Shit. Gotta top up that credit card.
Mama.
Ouverture du testament devant ses deux enfants. Jeanne, cette enveloppe est destinée à votre père. Retrouve-le.
Incendies, which is a more serious foreign film.
That Douglas should start since he didn't watch the last movie.
Okay.
Sir, the movie.
I didn't like this movie.
I'm sorry, what?
I did not like this movie.
No, I'm still not hearing you.
Still not hearing me.
No?
Alright.
There's a lot of static coming
from the room, right?
This movie, it's actually weird. It's hard for me to explain, right? Mm-hmm. Because this movie, I can see how, people would love this movie.
Okay.
And how they would say, but Douglas, you're crazy. This movie is amazing. And how they would champion it. But throughout the whole process, and I call it that specifically for a reason, the whole process of watching this movie, it didn't get me. It was kind of difficult to watch this movie. It wasn't that entertaining. I mean, the story and what happens and how all of these twists and these turns come about in the way that everything is set up with the mother dying and giving her children broken pieces to a puzzle that eventually come together in much more ways than one. It's interesting. It's an interesting concept, but I don't want to say that it was done poorly because I know it wasn't. I'm just going to chalk this up to personal preference. I really just didn't
enjoy this movie that much.
Damien, what did you think?
I'm trying to process the madness that Douglas just said to me. I'm finding it very difficult. Because he hasn't given a reason for not
liking the movie. No, because I understand that really and truly.
He has taken the cop-out route. Should be a politician. You're very good at this.
Okay.
The PM job is coming up soon, Douglas.
The mother has as good a chance as anybody else. Ridiculous. This movie is weird. Halfway through the movie, I realized what was about to happen.
You figured it out?
Yeah. And the reason for that.
No, yeah, that was actually Andrew. You didn't figure it out?
The reason for that is.
That was fairly obvious.
Because I just said to myself, the person who's writing this has decided to throw in all the horrible shit he can find into a movie. So what is the most messed up thing that could happen in this movie? And then I thought back to the fact that they got two letters, and I went, that's what's going to happen. And it ended up happening, which I didn't have a problem with. All the parts in this movie, as Douglas said, you can't nitpick anything because all the acting, all the direction, all the things that are on the sheet can be ticked off. The movie is beautiful to look at. And even in the most violent scenes, it was still... I mean, a lot of these war movies have a dirty look to them, but this didn't. It still looked colorful and vibrant throughout, and I guess they chose that motif because of the overall message that they were trying to present in this movie. But I found the movie one engaging and fascinating because. Recently, this is outside the movie, but recently I got into an argument with somebody, as I want to do, about religion. Not any specific religion. They were arguing about some religion, and I said to the person that religion has always been used as a weapon. That is, it's a main use. It is turned against other people. No one accepted any religion willingly. And it is, and watching this movie just reaffirmed that position. People use religion all the time to do really terrible things to gain power so that they can continue to do really terrible things. And how this movie addressed that, I thought was pretty good, because they didn't focus that much on the religious aspect. It was in the movie and you saw all the bad sides to it, but that wasn't the main aim of the movie. It was to tell this really tragic story, and it succeeded at that, and I enjoyed it. And this is one of those movies that we as movie fans will watch and enjoy, and we'll not be able to get anybody else to watch. And it is still kind of sad that these movies won't these are the movies that should make Transformer money, and they'll never make anything. Like, they'll never be seen by that many people, and these movies are profound and tell a story, and these are the movies that can change people's lives. I'm sure there's people who are going through terrible times that this movie could give them some amount of perspective, but instead they spent.
Oh, okay. I mean, because everything you were saying a while ago was building up to the word hope.
No, not hope. There's no perspective. But instead, they spent their money to watch Michael Blow shit up, which is It's just sad, and it has turned our society the one that we have now. But I enjoy this movie. I really enjoy this movie, and I can see why it's getting all those accolades. Mind you, if you make any movie about a wartime situation anywhere, you're halfway there to accolades. And if you make it a foreign film, you're pretty much guaranteed. You'd have to be really bad to not get some kind of acclaim. But it helps that this movie is good. I enjoyed it. Well, not enjoyed. I appreciate this movie. Because there's nothing to enjoy.
Admit it, you enjoyed it. You enjoyed it.
No, there's nothing to enjoy. There's nothing to enjoy in this movie. This movie is grim.
Like the TV show?
I'm going to stab you with this pen now.
Have any of you watched that TV show?
I have not. I've ignored
it. My sisters are watching it and they're enjoying it.
Do you enjoy it, Amy?
I do not watch it. Do not watch PS3 Media Server, thank you.
Episode.
Oh, God. Andrew, if you're wondering why I'm not playing Forever with you, my sisters have discovered that the PS3 can stream all of the movies throughout the house. And so it has been commandeered. Pretty much
that's
permanently.
Why I see you online all the while.
Yes, I'm always online. I never played anything. They have just been watching movies. I'm very sad. It brings a tear. I need to buy a boxy box stat so I can get rid of them.
You know, I have an issue with all of those boxes.
What
the hell is wrong with these people? Almost all of the big mass market streamers. /HTPCs don't actually come with an optical drive.
Douglas, what are you using optical drives to do?
No. I agree. On the computer side of things, buy a PS3. But what happens if you look right behind you? I have two shelves overstocked with DVDs and Blu-rays.
Buy a PS3.
No, I understand. No. Oh, that's what you said. But no, I mean you need to have an optical drive in your HTPC so that then, even if I don't actually use the Blu-ray or the DVD, what I do is I plug it in once and rip it so that then it's on the hard drive.
You rip it with your good machine. Why would you use a $2 processor to rip anything?
Some of these $2 processors are good now. The new Intel, whatever,
sure,
is it, like 2.1.
But Douglas, they don't intend for you to do that. Because most of them don't even have big enough hard drives to do that. They intend for you to have a real computer and stream all the information. They're called streamers.
Whatever.
This is wrong with you. And we need to do something about this. It's not guys.
I know.
They're selling one for $5. Should get on board. So, Andrew.
Oh, hi. How
are you? Oh, yeah. Hi and welcome.
Right, so we were talking about incendies.
Wait, was that a phone? Oh, okay. Looked like a phone.
Incendies.
You guys have pretty much made the film as to what it is really clear. I agree with both of you, sadly. Which, of course, makes no sense.
Yes, but you're Andrew.
I'm Andrew. The film was an acting and plot work of genius, as far as I'm concerned. I loved the actual points within the film, especially the reveal. The reveal I found quite... I guess fucked up is a way to put it. Fucked up. But you know, it's one of those things where in movies where it's fucked up, and at the same time you have that oh fuck moment. You have that moment where you're just going, oh what the hell, and it's just so good, right? You kind of just sit there going like, oh, it's a movie, I'm allowed to enjoy the fact that this is fucked up.
You're a sick man.
Hey, when last did you watch Requiem for a Dream, sir?
Look, I just watched Melancholia again, and I've
good. So let's not go there. But at the very same time, I found that the pacing of the film didn't allow for it kind of left a lot of dull moments throughout. What I really took issue with was the way the film actually moved along. The pacing was ridiculously slow at times. You had this span of 10 minutes where almost nothing was happening, or nothing of consequence was happening, or sometimes it was just that you couldn't tell whether what they were showing you mattered. Yes, I guess that's a failing on my part a little bit, but it bothered me. And at the same time, they had this, they chapterized the film in some way, and we've seen a lot of films chapterized. Tarantino does it in his films, Wes Anderson does it in his films, but here it was so difficult to figure out why these things were chaptered and
can I
how
stop you for
it ties
one second?
In together. Sure.
I just wanted to say that was amazing. The way that they chapterized it. I thought my... Well, as I said, I didn't like the movie, but I do appreciate it, right? But my favorite part of this movie was the fact that you never actually saw the name of the movie until the very end.
Yes.
And
well,
that,
I mean, lots of movies do that.
Okay.
No Country for Old Men. I think The Dark Knight does it.
Yeah, but they didn't have chapters
exactly
all throughout the movie.
Yeah, and then, you know, every time a title comes, there was a title, actually, a title sequence in the first 2 seconds or whatever of the movie, and it was not Incendies that you saw.
Right,
it was
the twins.
Yeah, the twins, right. And it keeps going until finally they're like, okay, this was Incendies.
Right,
so
you
are. You know, now you've seen what happened.
Yeah, you've seen all this crazy shit.
And I thought that was great.
I like the chapters because they didn't. All they did was tell you what the next 10 to 15 minutes were about, but it didn't give you a time. And when it even gave you a place, like there was one chapter that was just the south. And you go, alright, she was heading the south, so let's see what's happening. And they changed so many things. They jump around, they play around with time.
Yeah, they do. They play around with who the main character is. And can I tell you that there was this really beautiful scene that was so grim of the mother when she was young just standing in front of a bus that's burning.
Mm-hmm.
That was...
Right, that's what I was...
She's actually used in the poster and a lot of the...
Yeah, and the promo. Yeah, that's
true. Earlier when I said, you know, even with the gruesome moments there, you know, it was very, like, the movie's a beautiful movie. It looks really good. And most of the war films that I've seen, it's really grey, or if it's in the Middle East, it's really brown. And everything is grim. It's just
really
a grimy...
Color,
yes,
because
sand. No, because
desert
of the sand. You racist bastard.
They're dirty. That's what
they're saying. What did you say the
other
place was?
Dirty brown people.
What did you say the other place was? Did you say it was gray?
Yeah, no, like World War II movies usually look gray. Right. Mm. Thanks to our friend
Spielberg.
Right. But this movie, even there's this bus was lit on fire after it was shot up, and even when they were shooting up the bus, all the colors were still vibrant. They didn't. I don't know. It was
that's another scene where I kind of reveled in the fucked upness of it. Because I don't want to give it away, because yes, the bus burns, but there's something that happens after the bus is burning, and like that was just like, oh, you thought she was going to have this heroic moment, but no, not really.
Yeah, this movie's grim. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, there's no hope.
this movie's
not about hope. Nope, it is not about hope. This movie's about perspective.
Do you think
realizing your life is great?
And, the woman's children have completed their task and delivered the letters to the respective people, that they go on with their life.
I am so glad that they cut that they end the movie where they ended. They didn't feel the need to let me know anything else. They said, look, you're going to deliver these letters and find out what happens, and then that's it. No, oh, we'll see them after. No, 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 no. In Cindy's. It's a wrap. That's good. That's how movies are supposed to end. Not like Source Code, where they did the job and then they decided, let's give you some more. No, no, no. Let's end.
That's Duncan Jones you're talking about there,
look,
friend.
I don't look. Look, I love Moon.
You have to be very careful.
I love Moon, and I love the director's cut of Source Code.
No, no, that's not the director's cut. It says the DC's cut.
Oh, sorry. Again, it says DC. Let's assume it was director's cut.
I'm curious, because I just assume this, looking at the title and the kind of movie it is. Is Incendies a word that actually means something? Because I can't find it in a dictionary.
No, it doesn't.
I'm just curious.
It's just a word.
You see this happen with movies all the while, and it's just a thought.
It's just a word.
Okay.
It's not French for anything. It is a French movie. So unless it's, she went to a lot of different countries. Maybe, maybe it's, it means something in one of those other languages.
Anyway.
Yes.
It's
French. By the way, just to let everybody know who's been like telling me that it's nothing, it's French for fire.
Huh?
I wonder why. That don't make no sense at all. Wait. Yes, it does.
When I type it in Google, Google failed me. How dare you. Oh, dare you. And shame me in front of Douglas. Of all people.
Anyways, I'll end admitting it's a good movie. I just didn't enjoy it as much as I wanted to. And on that note, I guess we can say goodnight.
Yes, we probably should.
This has been the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
We've bored our one listener to death. She fell asleep. That's not good. That's not a good sign.
You can find the podcast on gmanreviews.com. I'm on Twitter at GmanReviews. Douglas is DJ, I lost his name. Damien is Soccer Jersey.
No, Damien is Damien White.
Damien White,
G,
no,
G plus? What? G how, plus. How does that work? Google Plus?
Do you think next year this time G plus will be dead like Google Wave is?
No, because and friggin' Google. No, sir. Too many people already use it. There's people who have abandoned Facebook. Because there's mothers are on Facebook, so they're abandoning. I don't have to use a social network that my mother and grandmother is on. No way, sir. Plus features. Google will always roll out features. And if you have an Android phone, you don't get a choice.
Anyways, thanks for listening, and good night.